Welcome to another episode of Just Saying with Justin Martindale. I'm Justin Martindale, and today we are going to be discussing everything and all and more that is Comic-Con. And I'm here with a very special guest, my personal friend. You know him from Schmoes Know. You know him from Rotten Tomatoes and the show Versus on Peacock. It's Mark Ellis.
Oh, Justin, it is so good to see you. And I love that we all struggle to find that word that really encompasses everything that Comic-Con is, that the experience is.
It was a whole lot. It wasn't an everything. It was a whole lot. Now, you were there.
It's a bunch of different lots.
I ran into you, I think, Saturday night.
The last night I was there, lo and behold, who tells me that he's been sailing on the high seas right off the dock the whole time? Now, I get a text from you a few hours, first of all, in the funniest twist of all time. I think I got a DM from you because it's like, hey, did you change
I've been texting the wrong person for all these years. And I was like, God, Mark's a bitch. He's not even responding.
No closer friend I have that did not have my phone number currently. Yeah. So we get the number thing figured out.
Yeah.
And again, this is like Saturday. I'm done with work for the day, which is a very loose word for what any of us do at Comic-Con.
Right.
And then I'm about to go out to a couple of the parties. And so I see your thing. And so then we communicate. And you're like, here, I didn't even know at that point that you had been on San Diego's ground floor the whole week.
Yeah.
I just knew that you were there. And I was like, oh, maybe Justin is like in something and he had to like do a panel. And so I'm like, sweet, let's meet up after your dinner. We finally meet at a bar called the Tipsy Crow.
The Tipsy Crow, which is not a series or show coming to Prime Video. No, it is literally a Tipsy Crow bar. Cool bar. They used to do comedy shows there.
They used to do stand-up, and I walked downstairs, and everybody's going to have this experience at some point in your life where you're back in a place. Usually it's like your high school.
Mm-hmm.
You go back when you're 25. You're like, all right. The cool guy's back, and nobody.
There's my
cool
name
anymore
on the wall. Oh God!
and so I walk into the Tipsy Crow, and I have a friend who's bartending downstairs. So she's like, "Yeah, come by the Tipsy Crow on your way back to your hotel. I'll get you a nightcap." So I come down and I walk down the stairs, and where they used to do stand up, which was one of the best rooms in San Diego.
Yeah, it's a nice room.
It was like a vampire rave.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was From Dusk Till Dawn
meets Blade
meets techno, and it was just thumping, and I was like, I'm glad these people are having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back upstairs and meet my dear friend Justin.
Yeah.
We see each other, we embrace, and then I get the crushing news to me, really, that Justin had been down in San Diego all the live long week.
I know.
Working on a boat, serving drinks to celebrities.
I was not serving drinks.
You were walking around like R2-D2 in Jabba's Cantina. You had a little tray of drinks on your head. And you had a sailor costume, is the way I'm imagining this.
I wasn't cater waitering.
You're walking around, you're giving shots to people on the Walking Dead show.
just giving zombies handies. And then one snaps off, and I'm like, oh, this is awkward. Oh, no.
Yeah, leprosy is a big problem
really
in the zombie
is.
Community.
So is a zombie apocalypse. Now, I went there actually as a plus one. My boyfriend was, he got this job with his company that he works for. So he works for one of his bigger clients. He works for Amazon for sales. So one of his bigger clients is Con Air. So Con Air collaborated, I mean, because, you know, we have great hair.
It is.
So his team at Con Air actually were on the IMDb boat.
Okay.
So the IMDb boat, which is still hard to say, was right there on, like, at the pier, this beautiful boat. And it was like what did they call it? They called it a installation. That's not the word.
An activation?
Activation. Yes, thank you.
Well,
God.
It is an insulated activation because you're on a freaking boat. Now, the boat doesn't leave the harbor.
At all.
But
which I thought it did because I was like, oh my God, we're going to have boat sunsets for a week. And they're like, we don't move the boat. I'm like, ruined.
I did that one time at Comic-Con. Somehow I got roped into doing an anime boat like around the harbor. And it's like, it sounds like a fun party concept. But the problem is, once you get on a boat, there's going to be this fun party. And then you get away. You know what I love to do at parties the most? Leave. I love to have a drink and then just ghost everybody and Irish goodbye my way out, and you can't do that when the boat's moving.
Yeah.
So the IMDb boat is actually my ideal party location. It's also great, and what my friends down there always love using the IMDb boat for is day drinking to kind of pregame to do whatever you're going to do that night. And they'll walk on the boat full of piss and vinegar. They'll stumble off a little bit, maybe take a nap, and then dust themselves off. And it's kind of like, it's Nerd Vegas is the best way
it is
to describe everything that's happening at Comic-Con. Nerd Vegas meets Geek Mardi Gras.
Yes, it is Geek Mardi Gras, because even that last Saturday we were there, that's when we met. We were walking down that street because we had gone to dinner at the Pendry to kind of have like, congrats, we did it. Mm-hmm. We survived. Our livers are pickled.
Justin served so many drinks in his cute little sailor outfit.
It was just an open bar. My wrists are sore still from just holding these trays of R2-D2 piss. And just nerd cocktails, you know. I think I drank like all the cocktails had like weird names to it. I drank one that was just, I think it was called like the Venom, and it was just like black charcoal infused. And I was like, that sounds delicious. Does it detox my bloodstream?
It might help the old liver a little bit.
It did. But and we were walking down the street, and I was like, this is like Mardi Gras.
Oh, you're dodging people.
Oh my God, there was those cars like bumping up and down, like with the lifts and the hydraulics. And I'm like, what is going on? Now, I got there Wednesday. And we checked into the hotel, and then we went down to the boat. I met his team, and they're all just great. And guys, go to Con Air and like check out their appliances and everything. They got some cool stuff. They were throwing out some cool swag. Conair.com, just check it out. It's like a rebrand. They're really pushing.
Not the movie.
No, they had not the movie. Yeah.
When you said Conair boat, that's where my head went.
Now that would have been amazing if Nicolas Cage was at the Conair booth taking the pictures of like all the young girls with curlers and stuff in their hair.
I got something to send you on a totally off topic note. I got something to send you after the show, and everybody out there listening and watching can check this out. Aaron Rodgers, star quarterback of the Packers.
I saw this picture.
Showed up to training camp, the first day of training camp, and he's literally dressed like Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage's character, and I want him to maintain that all season long.
Sure. Go for it.
You're talking about like the hair dryers and stuff.
Hair dryers. Yeah.
Which I own one.
Beard trimmers, nose trimmers, ear trimmers, like blow dryers galore. They got a lot of really cool selections, so go check them out. So we got there Wednesday, went out to all the dinners. I ran into Ricky Lake.
Wow.
Ricky Lake was staying at the hotel, hotel. Because we were staying at the Intercontinental, which was like a base for like all the people who were like all the celebs who were doing all the
which
halls.
Is where all championship wrestlers want to be
at the Intercontinental.
They all
want to
be the Intercontinental champion.
And we're walking to the elevator, and we see Ricky Lake, and I'm like, what? And she's full gray now, so it was kind of like, and of course Evan, my boyfriend, is just like, are you Ricky Lake? And I'm like, Evan, you can't just ask Ricky Lake if she's Ricky Lake.
You got to stare at her awkwardly for 15 minutes to figure it out.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, it's me. And he was like, oh my God, I love you. And it was so funny because I go, oh, are you here for Comic-Con? She's like, no, a friend of mine got sworn in as a judge. And I'm like, and someone who's just done 11 days of jury duty, I was very triggered. I was like, no. But I know, I thought Ricky Lake was going to be there.
That's
for...
why she was down?
She was, yeah.
You would think that San Diego would be aware of the biggest event that town holds, and maybe you take a week off from swearing in judges during Comic-Con. Because all the locals in San Diego that live downtown in the Gaslamp District, they're like, we're going to Barbados this week.
Oh my God.
We don't want to deal with this.
No, at all. But also, I was thinking about, what if Ricky Lake was in a courtroom watching her, I don't know, I think it was like her friend gets sworn in as a judge, and they're like, raise your right hand, and Ricky's in the back like, talk to the hand. God, she was the best. She still is the best. She looks so happy. She just recently got married. She's like, she's doing it. She's living her life.
Sweetheart. And
she's so good. But I loved Ricky Lake. It was always like, you know, she was just that like fun girl who's like, being cool. Like, she'd be like, don't even talk to the hand. What else did she say? She'd be like, you go, girl.
You go, girl
was like epic.
I like that you and I watched the classier trash TV shows, because I was always a big Montel guy.
Montel was great because he had Sylvia, what's that psychic, you know what I'm talking about? She was always like this.
Oh,
she's like
right.
Harvey Firestein. She'd be like, you were
David the aliens. David.
Yeah. You were an Egyptian princess who got her head cut off in 12 BC. Next. Like, and they're like,
thanks. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Like, and she had like all these books, and they'd be like,
Sylvia, I've been going through a lot of stress lately.
You're going to die tomorrow. Live it up today. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. And then, yeah.
Just turn and burn. The God, world of a psychic.
She was so good. Montel, but I also loved a good, just garbage Jenny Jones.
Yeah, Jenny Jones had that big suicide scandal or something.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that.
And I feel bad that that's like the first thing I associate with Jenny Jones, but it's like, how did that happen? Because like somebody was on her show and then they off themselves. How did that happen to Jenny Jones before Jerry Springer? Mm-hmm. It never happened to Jerry Springer?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Well, Jenny Jones was also like you're on television and you're like, oh, you're gay and you want to bone your best friend? And he was like, and they didn't have like therapy for that. And so that's what happened.
They're like, oh, wait, they're hiring actors on Jerry Springer. Yeah. That's what we forgot to
do. Also like looking at my boyfriend and being like, oh, thank God he knows who Ricky Lake is.
Means y'all were maybe destined.
I know. I was like, still has not seen Dirty Dancing.
Wow.
I know.
He hasn't seen Havana Nights?
I haven't seen Havana Nights. I refuse.
No one has.
But like he was on the airplane. He's gone to New York for the week, and he's like, can I have Dirty Dancing on the plane? I'm like, watch it, all caps. I was like, you have to. You can't come home until you see Dirty Dancing. But just seeing Ricky, like, that was like the start to Comic-Con. That was my Comic-Con. Then we go into the IMDb boat. And it was great. They had that day we got there, they had like Chris Pine and
Hugh Grant was also a pound around with him because they're in the Dungeons and Dragons show. So,
is it a show or a movie? It's a movie, right?
I believe it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah. So,
in the business, we call it a show.
We have a show.
I'm going to greenlight your show, but here's what you need. You need Chris Pine.
Yeah.
You need dragons.
Hugh Grant.
And who's the guy from 9 Months? Get him.
We had who's the guy that everyone got wet to at Bridgerton? Oh yeah, Jean René Pierre, whatever his name is. He's hot. Put him in here. Régé Jean Pierre.
I like that trailer because that's what I did on Thursday. I went to Hall H a little bit, which is like that's the huge like 6,000 person arena where you go see like the big panels where they release a bunch of cool footage.
But hold on, because I did not know what Hall H was. The only way I knew what Hall H was watching the videos of being a civilian at home.
A normie.
Watching, you know, oh, we're showing you trailers or whatever. I had no idea what went into Hall H. So I'm walking and I'm just seeing a line of people just going all the way down San Diego. Just the street of San Diego.
Yeah, there's lines for everything at Comic-Con, but it's like you're in the jungle and you see a lot of little baby snakes. And then you see like the mama python. That is what the line for Hall H is.
And they hang out all day.
Yeah.
And then they cut them off at like 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leave?
So the way it used to be is you would be camping out. You'd have people camping out for like days at a time.
That's some Black Friday shit.
And now there's like a little bit more of a, you know, be here and register here and do this online. And so you can kind of have a little bit of a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the old days, it was like you're waiting for Hall H and that's your entire Comic-Con.
Right.
You don't have time to go to the floor because you want to see footage. It was cooler back then, though, because that footage wasn't necessarily always released to the internet.
Right.
So most everything that happens
in person
in
Hall H, moment,
you see online at the same time because the trailer drops. But like something we can get into later is DC dropped the Black Adam trailer, and then there was a lot more footage that they showed in the hall, and then the trailer that makes the light of day on YouTube and stuff is a more truncated version. So you get to see some teases, you get to see some announcements and like some images that they don't release, but because it's so easy to leak stuff now, studios are like, hey, we need to be prepared to show the world all the stuff that we're just showing these people first.
Got it. Yeah, it was a lot. So you were saying you go into Hall H, with your press badge.
I know people.
Oh, okay.
I've been putting the time in, so.
And it was just every nerd's first orgasm.
It was really I really like the Dungeons and Dragons trailer, which I didn't grow up playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I didn't either, but it's having a moment with Stranger Things.
Yeah, because of that. Mm-hmm. And there's just been a resurgence in role-playing games. I think people just see the world now, they're like, I think maybe I should escape it for a little bit.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, I looked at those NASA images like that came out the other week, and I was just like, I could do this. Like, shot into space. Like, that's what I was like, I could do this. I also watched Stranger Things, and I was like, I could make the upside down a home.
I don't hate living in the Upside Down.
No. I mean, it's just, you know, just get a Roomba, maybe like some sponges, a bucket of water, you know, just go over your old memories from 10 years ago. You're like, oh, my old science project's in this drawer. Okay, let's dust this off.
That's the scary thing is like,
okay.
I probably have Taco Bell wrappers in my place.
You know, just fight off some bats with human faces.
Nah,
that's not hard.
You're going to have to deal with some stuff down there, but what do you deal with here every time you open your phone?
God, I went to CVS the other day. CVS is my Upside Down. I went to CVS I went into CVS the other day, and this man just full on just... And I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. And everyone I looked at, we all were just like, well, here we are.
Yeah.
Like almost like a, well, this could be it kind of a moment.
It's but like, yes. If you were in a room with that guy, he doesn't survive.
He doesn't survive.
No.
No. Because what's my motto?
Or he eats everybody else's face.
Oh, I won't stop till there's brains on the floor. That's my motto. Nope. I'm not going to stop. So you go into Hall H. And you saw the Dungeons & Dragons trailer, and it was
kind of a good kickoff for me for Comic-Con. It's like, yeah, this is what we do here. This is what, and I'm a huge classic rock fan, so the trailer features a whole lot of love by Led Zeppelin. And
oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
All right, I'm into this. The tone they're aiming for is like a very weird, we're adventuring, but we're also making jokes. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a Monty Python feel, so I hope they hit it, and I hope they knock it out of the stadium. And so from there, my responsibilities for the rest of the week were really what I've always wanted to do at Comic-Con, which was just do shows. And so I did a lot of stand-up down there at American Comedy Company. I popped into Madhouse a couple times. And then I had a few different panels I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last piece of TV I had to do was I covered a little bit for Rotten Tomatoes.
Cool.
During Friday morning. And then other than that, I was just kind of bumming around and experiencing Mardi Gras.
It was cool. What
bumping into friends.
Yeah, that was fun. You ran into also...
I saw Jessica Michelle Singleton at a CVS down there.
See, that tracks.
Yeah.
That
she was tracks. Not the person that was threatening to bite everybody's face off.
No, but if she stayed long enough, she could have been.
It could happen to the best of us in that place.
It's like a virus, you know? Did you see any other... what were some other... Because I saw some trailers that I was like, okay, I'm into this. One for me was Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
Which is just gay and old. Just like me.
I like that they're updating the time period, though.
Yes.
I like that we're not going all the way
to the
back
1800s, yes.
That we did with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. And everybody forgets Christian Slater's in that movie.
We all did.
He's in the movie.
He's the interviewer.
He's damn good at it, too.
Yeah. But here's what I thought was really interesting was that... So the trailer drops for Interview with the Vampire premiering on AMC, and it's a series. And so this is what I thought was fascinating. So Anne Rice, RIP, wrote the book, and then she wrote the screenplay, which is nothing like the book.
Nope. Took her own stuff.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I know. I was like, wait, what? So then AMC said, we're going to do this series and make it as, you know... to the T that Anne Rice had, and it starts out like 1910 New Orleans. I'm already in. Like, just top hats and gas lights, and I love it. And
pale
like,
skin.
And it's just that real homoerotic feel of like just a you know, Lestat looking at Louis, and then I think we have Cosette in it as well, or not Cosette, Claudia in it as well.
I like the Kirsten name Cosette Dunst. Better.
Cosette's Les Mis.
Yeah.
I know. I mix up my Victorian doll girls.
I mean, one of them, there's a big loaf of bread kerfuffle in the other one. It's vampires, and they're biting necks.
They want more either way. Yeah, they're hungry little shitheads.
These kids, whether they want blood or baguettes,
yeah,
they just won't shut up about it.
Times were different. Now they all want TikToks and followers.
time to eat.
I thought that looked really good. I'm trying to think of what was the other... League of Their Own looks really good. I'm trying to...
We're covering all the bases here because you sort of have the TV on lockdown. The streaming, and then the ones that really blew me away were the big DC and Marvel both presented their panels at Hall H on Saturday.
What was DC? I didn't hear crap about DC.
Well, DC, unfortunately, as they do way too often, made news for what they didn't have at Comic-Con, which was there were rumors started by sites that you really shouldn't trust, but you just can't help but get excited if a rumor is like, oh, DC is reportedly set to bring Henry Cavill back and announce a new Superman movie, and that didn't happen. And so all the fans were disappointed. But you also got a Shazam trailer. There's a new Shazam movie that looked fun. And then the Black Who's Adam Zach, trailer with
Zach,
The Rock.
Zach Levi?
Zachary Levi is playing Shazam. And he is like a Comic-Con staple. That guy like used to go down as a fan.
Yeah.
That guy went down for Chuck. He's always down there.
Yeah.
He's just always lurking around. So for him to be up there in Hall H and introducing the trailer, you know, is probably special for him. And everybody in that room is like, that's one of us. We're all going to do that.
So, he's so hot, too.
Very,
very attractive, man.
And The Rock is just a mountain of a man.
Of course.
Just huge.
And he's Black Adam.
He is Black Adam, yes.
Which I feel weird saying.
You can
that.
Say it. I had okay. to. Yeah, it's the name of the character, and there's a lot of reasons why they call the character that. So.
Okay. So there was that.
What I'm told.
Oh, here's another one that I was really looking forward to. Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings series that's coming out on Amazon. Ring of Power. And they had a activation on the boat, and I saw the trailer, and I've seen the Lord of the Rings movies, and I was like, huh, okay. But I like the idea of a prequel to where we get to The Hobbit. You know what I mean?
They've managed to do something that Star Wars still cannot pull off, which is they're going back 4,000 years.
Oh, really?
In time. They're going way, way before The Hobbit started.
Oh, wow.
This is way, way before. You get to see the formation of these rings. You get to see Sauron as like a, you know, teenage ne'er-do-well sort of looking creature.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of like Draco Malfoy, whatever that one evil kid from Willy Wonka was. Like, that's kind of what you're looking at with him now before it just turns into this eye that's looking at everything. So I thought that trailer was cool. I enjoy Lord of the Rings. I'm not steeped into the lore like a lot of other people, but Star Wars has always been, we had the classic trilogy, and then ever since we've been sort of cemented in this time period where we can go 30, 40, 50 years before, we can go 30, 40 years after. That's sort of where we live. And there's all these great mythologies about the Old Republic, like thousands of years ago. And so I think a lot of fans...
Are you talking about now or the Old Republic?
So it gets very confusing because the words before every movie are a long time ago. So we're already doing a long time ago.
We
want to go further back.
Oh, I mean, we're already doing that. So
the video games did it. The video games had Knights of the Old Republic. So everybody's just kind of waiting for that Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. But this is what happens to me at Comic-Con when you have a couple drinks in you and you get into these nerd conversations. You're talking about what you like. It always, for me, comes back to the centerpiece of my nerddom, which is Star Wars.
Got it. And they had some really cool like interactive moments. I mean, like FX had like American Horror Stories, which I thought was trash.
I didn't get to do the one that I wanted to the most, which
Severance. Yeah,
I don't know what it was.
I think we talked about that.
I don't
on
know
Saturday.
They were performing surgeries.
Yeah,
but I would have done it. I would have been like, sign me up, put the chip in me. Let's see how my innie does out there.
I know that one seemed really, really cool. You actually like walk through the whole office again. If you've been sleeping on Severance,
watch it.
Wake up and watch it. It's so, so good. I'm trying to think. I think there was like an Abbott Elementary thing there.
Deadpool had a cool pop-up chimichanga truck.
Oh, the chimichanga truck. That's hard to say, too. Chimichanga truck.
It was right down the street from
Yeah, it was right from down from the boat. It was, there was a line. They were passing out free chimichangas. But then let's talk, what I considered to be the best thing about Comic-Con was the fashion.
Yep. These
nerds were living. I mean, I'm trying to think. We woke up like Saturday morning and walked down to the boat, and people were already just decked out for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any like favorite costumes or that you saw?
I have a favorite
and
I have a least favorite.
Yes, the best dressed. Marcus
best dressed
Comic-Con.
And the worst dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple honorable mentions. I love it. There's this one person that cosplays as Barf, John Candy's character from Spaceballs every year, the
good.
Mog.
Yes.
And I love the way that they do it.
Yeah.
It's so smart. It's so inventive. My favorite cosplay was a team of folks who were squid gaming around town. There was Squid Game cosplay this year, and they were dressed like they were all about to murder each other to get free. It was it's hard to describe, but they were you could tell that it was Squid Game and that they were all sort of so like you would like walk up to them and then they were like they would say hi and like take a picture, then they'd go right back to like doing this weird game like dodging bullets and stuff. Super trippy.
Ooh, that is
but
weird.
But really, really cool.
Yeah.
And a little freaky, given the times we live in.
I love it. Yeah, I know. God. Yeah, let's talk about that in a minute. But yeah, go on.
The worst.
Uh-huh.
The worst cosplay. It was really well done. But it was just an image I never want to see because I can't get it out of my head now. So Walking Dead has your they don't like being called zombies. They like being called walkers. Okay.
Oh, wait. We don't want to offend the zombie community on this podcast.
I guess this one walker that's in the show has a pet dog that is also a walker. Okay.
Okay.
This walker,
meaning like the dog is a zombie walker? Okay. Okay.
It was a zombie, John.
Okay.
This walker is walking around Comic-Con, full zombie makeup, like stuff happened to him, and they have like a belt, like a rope that is their belt, and tied to the rope is a dead dog that looked so freaking real.
Oh,
it was
really?
A stuffed animal German Shepherd with all the guts spilling out and blood all over the dog.
That's kind of cool.
It was like, it was so horrific because, it looked real. So
it
you do a double
real.
Take. Uh-huh. You're like, man, that was John Wick. Just won't stop. And then you realize what it is, and you're like, do I have to... We've agreed that we'll do whatever we want to humans, but not the dogs, not the German Shepherds.
Even if it's a fake dog?
It looked too real.
But think about it. If there was a zombie apocalypse, your neighbor would be, like, chawing on your dog.
Yeah, and I try to avoid that premise.
Okay.
And as you know, I would die before I would let my dog Molly die.
Yeah.
If it's a stuffed animal of Odie from Garfield, I'm fine. Do whatever you want to. This thing looked way too realistic.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about that is that they go in on like the prosthetics
too
and the
real,
latex
man.
And the and like the whole thing. I'm trying. What I really love about Comic-Con were the mashups. Like it was.
Those are fun.
I saw two mashups. The first, right when I got there, that was really, really good. There was a guy wearing a Doctor Strange cape, but he also had America Chavez's like jacket on.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, "Are you?" And I had just recently seen the multiverse, and I was like, "Are you America Chavez?" He's like, "Well, actually, my last name is Chavez. I don't want to like mention his name, but Marcus Chavez. I'm sure there's a million of them." And he was like, Marcus Chavez from Comic-Con. He was wearing America Chavez's jacket. He's like, "My name's Marcus Chavez, and I'm also actually a doctor in real life." So he was Dr. Chavez. I was like, "That's awesome."
And that relates to him as a real human being.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool.
I saw a great mashup that was Darth Vader, but instead of Darth Vader's cape, it was Homelander's cape from The Boys.
Ooh.
That was pretty cool. Obviously, you don't go up to Darth Vader in full costume and ask questions.
Yeah.
The best you can hope for is just thumbs up. I didn't get a thumbs up back, but I got like a little nod.
Like you get it.
Like I'm not going to force choke you today.
I really wanted to see like a Vecna, like someone like full on Vecna and Stranger Things. There was like a bunch of Stranger Thing kids running around.
A lot of Eddie Munsons.
Lots of Scarlet Witches, which going back to what you were saying, that was another one of the gossip and all that. They were like, Elizabeth Olsen is at Comic-Con. She's going to announce her solo project. Guess who didn't show up to announce her solo project? Elizabeth Olsen.
A lot of rumors floating around. You got to be careful.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think if
we did get some really good stuff from Marvel too. They brought a lot. They always bring down the house with their Saturday panel.
Okay, go on.
They premiered the Wakanda Forever trailer, Black Panther.
God.
Very emotional, very heart-wrenching for the cast too.
Oh yeah, they were like all crying on the red carpet and stuff.
Yeah, they needed like 10 minutes to be like, "Hey, we're going to gather ourselves before we do any interviews."
Because they were like, "This is the first time we've like really talked about this since like Chadwick Boseman died and plus wrapping the film, and now we're like, you guys are all witnessing it as well." If you haven't seen the trailer for Wakanda Forever, it's a good homage, and it's like really sad because like Angela Bassett's just like, "All of my people are dead."
Yeah,
and
if Angela Bassett start losing us, nobody else has a chance. But there's some hope in there. There's a nice like shot of like kind of like a rebirth sort of thing, and then you have the end that everybody's speculating on, where you see the posterior of the Black Panther, whoever's taking over the mantle, and so everybody's debating who is that, who's in the costume, who's going to be the next Panther.
Isn't it the little sister genius girl?
It could be Letitia Wright's character. It could be Lupita Nyong'o. It could be anybody. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it is a woman, though, because the arm is very, like...
That's my guess.
I think it... And I just think we're in this, like... If we're going to get a She-Hulk...
I'm excited for She-Hulk.
You are She-Hulk attorney at law?
Is
that what we're looking forward to?
Yeah, because I like when Marvel doesn't just do the same thing. Like, this is just... It's a goofy show about a girl who's dealing with her powers. She gets to be mentored by the Hulk. I don't take it too seriously. Okay. I think sometimes we get locked into this where everything is so important now, okay, and the multiverse means that we can't ever. And then can we just have like a fun lawyer show that feels like Ally McBeal or Sex in the City? Is that too much? That's why I liked WandaVision so much, because it just like took fans on a left turn.
Wild women do,
see?
And they won't forget it. We need like a Pretty Woman, like She-Hulk shopping on Rodeo
Own
Drive.
It, girl. I'm here.
What was that? We need the actual Ally McBeal theme song for the intro to She-Hulk. Yeah. And she's just a girl just trying to Hulk, you know?
And the people watching She-Hulk probably don't even remember Ally McBeal. What a show.
The listeners on this show totally remember.
Good.
What was her name? Vonda Shepard. Why do I remember that?
I don't know. I didn't. I remember some of the people on it. I remember Calista Flockhart was dating Harrison Ford. Still is? I think it's still a thing.
I think it is too.
Look at that.
So Marvel.
They announced their movies through like 2045.
God, it's
yeah,
so
like, here's
much.
The next 30 years of movies.
It's too much. Okay, so what were some of the ones that like popped into my head? We're getting like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I mean, it's like, do you think this Marvel obsession's going to dwindle? Because
I love the Charlie Rose fashion with which you asked that question.
It's just
Mark Ellis Marvel. What say you?
But it's also like, it's like, oh, the Thunderbolts or whatever. I'm like, I don't know what that is. We're getting a new series called Echo. I'm like, okay. I don't know what that is. Like, I get it. Like if there, I just feel like we're just like shoving it all just here. You want this? Go. I'm waiting on a Gambit. Give me Gambit.
They've been waiting on it too.
Give me a Gambit. Give me the X-Men 97 series looks pretty cool because it looks like they're just like redoing that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like the animated show from the 90s.
Yeah.
But they're just going to still be in 1997 and just like redo it.
But you're bringing up something interesting that I think a lot of Marvel fans have their hopes pinned on, because is the X-Men officially being ingratiated in the MCU.
Because it was introduced in the Doctor Strange 2. God, I'm a good nerd.
It was teased in the multiverse that you have it. And
that
so
you
we're
have
still
him.
Waiting for it to happen in this universe. And so there are some more winks and nods in the most recent Marvel series on Disney Plus, Ms. Marvel. And so you see the slate of like all these upcoming movies that Marvel's going to be releasing. You're like, okay, well, maybe we could get some there. Maybe Fantastic Four is the one. Because Fantastic Four, I think, comes out in like the fall of 2024. And then we have the two Avengers movies in 2025.
Who has time? Do they not know monkeypox is happening? Like, how do we know?
Their wallets are still telling them. But to your point, I sort of feel the same way, where we're still at a great party with the MCU. But you know when you're at a party and it's like, oh, man, we're going to have all this great food. And like the steaks have been eaten.
Oh,
and so now we're sort of like, okay, well, we still have some carrots and there's some hummus and there's some, there's a lot of, we can cobble together a meal here.
Yes, yes.
So I think that's why a lot of fans are like, where are we going with this phase? And then it was announced this phase four that we're currently in, ends with Black Panther 2. And then we kick off something else with Ant-Man and the Quantumania movie, which is going to star Bill Murray too. So
who's he in it?
Somebody.
Okay, good.
He's Bill Murray. I literally hope he plays Bill Murray.
But I'm wondering, I mean, there's just so much. I'm like even trying to remember all the little names on all the screens, and
it's a lot to keep track of. And it does feel like we're putting the B team in now, because some of the A team is gone, and that's the real test that they knew they're going to be facing eventually, because you have this run of a decade of greatness that culminated with Endgame. And for me, you know, I'm a kid of the 90s, where it's like, if you saw a movie that was anywhere close to the scope of Endgame, you'd wait 5 years before you get another movie that felt like that. You know?
Right. You feel like we're now just remaking the remakes.
Yeah.
Because now we've got a new Captain America. We have a new
World Order.
It's just like, whoa.
New Blade. Mahershala Ali is Blade. That's going to be fun.
That'll be fun.
Think that's 2023,
and then what is Wesley Snipes in a different multiverse? Does he come in? He's like, what? And then is it set at the Tipsy Crow? Like, do we?
Like, that'd be cool.
Does someone light a lighter and like blood pours out of the sprinkler system? God, that was a great scene. Wah, wah,
wah, wah, go back wah, wah. And watch
what
the
song
first
was that?
Blade.
Was that like Prodigy? They're like, smack my bitch up. So, bah, 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 bah. Yep. Ugh. Vampires know how to fucking party.
They really do.
That's my favorite, man.
Some of them are really pale and glittery and weepy, but then you have your blades that show up too. Know mm-hmm. how to get things done.
I think I wanted a little more. I wanted just a little more from Comic-Con.
Okay.
I wanted more like.
Well, you were stuck on a boat.
Story of my life. It's been a boat summer.
We were having fun on the mainland.
I know. And here's the thing. We had badges. We had actual, like, badges to get into the convention center because that's what I really, really wanted to do. We got down. I saw, like, some Moon Knight person looking at me weird. And then, like, I looked at. This was really cute. I saw, like, these two little dogs. One was dressed like Vision and one was Wanda. Like, their little Halloween costumes.
And they were still alive?
Yeah, yeah. And then we went down to touch them and they started barking at us and. I think Wanda's still alive.
Yeah.
She's back. There was a little light that went off in the tower. She's gone.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
But like, we got down to the convention center. We were like, oh, yeah, here we are. This is great. Let's walk in. They're like, oh, no. See that line over there? And it was just like a 2-hour line of just people mm-hmm. waiting to get COVID tested.
Yeah, you had to show your vaccination this time. Yeah. And then you got provided a wristband that you had to keep on your person.
Yeah.
The whole weekend, and then you go and get your badge, and then you can go walk onto the floor. But the floor really is a fun experience, especially if you've never done it before, because it's massive.
Yeah, and it was hot as hell, too.
It was
so hot.
Yeah.
Especially by the water, it was crazy hot. And I was like, I want to know how many people have passed out today. That's what I wanted to know.
I didn't see anybody being attended to.
I didn't either.
In a medical fashion. That's how good they are.
These nerds stay hydrated.
And I wasn't a risk, but actually, it's funny because on Saturday, before I knew you were there,
mm-hmm.
I rode right by your boat in a jet ski. On a jet ski.
That would have been so badass if I was just like out on the pier.
I should have stormed
like out
it.
On the dock. I'm like, hey.
I should have like said, coming aboard.
It was really fun. Like, there were like some after parties and stuff like that.
I had friends that went on your boat every day.
Who?
Every day. My friends Dorina, Roxy, and Steph, collectively known as the World Girls. It's a fun show that they do. They give things a try. They were giving the IMDb boat a good try. I got to send them the picture that you and I took and say, hey, do you know this boy? Because I want to know if like they interact with you at all, because they would love you. You would love them.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was so much. It was so much fun. And then,
damn it, because they were like, hey, come meet us on the boat. And I could have gone, and the sparks that would have flown.
I know.
If we had locked eyes from across the bow or whatever the thing on the deck.
We would have assembled our own Avengers team. Yeah.
We would have locked arms. We would have done like a Viking handshake.
Ah!
It would have been so cool.
Some hammer just flies into my hand. I'm like, ah! They're like, that's a zombie penis. I'm like, oh, God, no, not again.
The problem is the next year I'm going to be back at Comic-Con, and I'm gonna be, hey, guys, let's go to the IMDb boat. My mm-hmm. buddy's there.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I'm going
are you
going
to text him? And I'm like, no, this is our thing.
This is our.
We agreed to meet at this spot.
It was just so cool. I loved all of it, and I loved seeing. Like, I saw like it brought like people together. There was this woman and her daughter, and she was dressed up as Loki with one broken horn, which I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Thing, yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. And then her daughter was like Beetlejuice, but like femme curvy Beetlejuice. It was really cool. She had the makeup on. I was like, y'all look great. I love the creativity that goes into it. I love how people,
mm-hmm.
like the whole town got involved.
It's
and
a family affair.
It's like, it's just a good old fashioned, it's Halloween during the daytime.
Really? For four straight days?
That's really all it is.
And you had a pretty good bird's eye view, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to have a centralized location where there's a lot of people that mm-hmm. are just walking by all the time, a lot of people coming and going and having a drink and having a laugh. Mm-hmm. So I think you stationed as a skipper, I guess, maybe? Maybe get promoted to captain next
I've
year?
I've been called worse, yes. I think I would definitely take the position of skipper on the IMDb boat. But it's actually kind of fun because I got to meet the CEO of IMDb. Which he was so awesome.
Yeah.
It's like this British guy and his lovely wife, and we're just talking. And I asked him, I said, what's your favorite movie?
Ooh, the actual purveyor.
Yeah. I was like, what is your actual favorite movie? And he's like, of last year. And I'm like, sure. Because now I've gone too far. I've talked too much.
He would have slapped you in the face, you said all time.
He said, the Daniel Craig movie, No Time to Die.
Okay.
Which I was kind of like,
Yeah, he's British.
Out of every, yeah, I guess so.
Bond's their guy.
Yeah, and he was like, "What about you?" And I was like, "Death Becomes Her." he's like, "Oh, okay, that's a classy camp flick." I'm like, "Yeah, I really like that one."
That's the thing that I probably would have done is I just would have met the CEO of IMDb and just asked them movie trivia questions.
Well, then I find this out, Mark, that my IMDb page was shit, garbage, hasn't been updated in years.
Oh,
you know, I've had like managers and people repping you, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you just gotta do, you know." And I was like, "Oh, it's a mess." There's three Justin Martindales on there.
What?
With no pictures. Like one of me. One of them was me.
Bite.
Yes.
Bite.
And so they had actual a geek squad there on the second deck of the boat, and there was two people there, and they sat me down, and they were going through my IMDb
page.
So
they hacked into the mainframe.
They put, like, you know, all like the recent credits that I've done. They had, like, everything went through it. I was like, I can get rid of this. No one's seen this. I can get rid of that, too. You know, here's a new picture.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really kind of cool. I was like, I'm a new person. I was like, Hollywood, pay attention.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at my IMDb. I bet the most recent credit is like punked from like 2000s.
I looked up yours. It's good. It's good.
It's classic.
Now I'm like IMDb shaming people. I'm like, need an update on that profile.
You probably don't even know what the CEO's favorite movie of last year is.
Humble brag. I know things. No, but it was really kind of cool, like listening to how, like, as I was with the COO, Nikki, and we went out to dinner. And so it was interesting, like, listening to them talk. It was like, because as comics, like, we're just, it's the same thing. We all have a different language.
Right.
It's just like,
right.
Oh, so and so's doing this. So and so's on tour. They got a special. We're doing this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they're doing the same thing. They're just like analytics. Like,
yeah.
Like, IMDb did this really cool thing too, where they had on the boat, they had like, they actually have a what to watch app.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm going to download. I want to see if anybody else downloads it. So you take a quiz and it's like, what are you in the mood for? And it'll be like, boop, 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 and it'll program a movie for you to watch.
Oh, I like that.
Which is kind of cool. I was like, that's, you know, so you don't have to battle over what you want to watch. And then they actually had like stats up. They're like, these are the highest ranking Spider-Man films of all time from least to greatest or whatever.
I love me some stats.
I do too.
And I love that they're trying to take hours off of everybody's life. Or I guess they're trying to save us hours from just doing the doom scrolling that we do.
Doom
on Netflix or
that's
Amazon
so
or whatever, where it's like, no.
Because that's how I am. I'm just like, hey, should we watch? God, fuck. Have you seen this? No. You got to watch this. I don't want to watch this because I've got to fucking watch 9 other things. Like, I am really sci-fi right now, really into Westworld. Have you seen the new season of Westworld?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I think I bailed after season 2.
Wait.
It's just too much thinking.
I don't know what it is about Westworld, because when Westworld came out, the first season, everyone was like, oh my God, this is the best show ever.
Losing their minds.
So fun. Second season, we went to Eastworld, which was like, okay. Third season, I wish I could tell you what happened, but I stayed through it.
Okay.
I stayed through it. That one was a long one. It was just a bunch of like, okay, you know, Dolores and Maeve, and are we getting out of the park? I don't know. And then now this season is just punching you in the face.
How much research did you have to do over the crap that you had already watched to know what's happening? Because that's my fear with like jumping back in and like season 4 is I forgot these people's names. I forgot what they do.
Oh.
Do you get a nice palate cleanser? Because especially with something as thick and as dense as Westworld, it's like you're walking into French 301.
I think that's what they did. I think that season 3 was so like in your face, like, you know, sci-fi, you need to know this, you need to know this. Mm-hmm. And then season 4 is just like, okay, now we're going to let you have it. And you're, and like every episode I've seen this season, I'm just like, oh my God, it just gets cooler and cooler. Tessa Thompson is fantastic.
As always.
I mean, and Rachel Evan Wood. Oh my God. They're so great.
You know, I did a Westworld junket. Like I was interviewing all the people one time. And I walked in, and Evan Rachel Wood, not Rachel Evan.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Not Rachel Evan Wood, but that sounds real, too.
Three names with Rachel in them drive me insane.
It's
Rachel
tough.
Lee Cook, get out of here.
Yeah, no.
Evan Rachel Wood, yes.
And I was nervous interviewing her just because I didn't know if, like, I try to be funny. You know, I try to be me.
Try to be
there.
Funny, yeah.
I try to be, but you only have, like, 4 minutes, so it's just like, you know, I have these questions that I have to ask, and so get in there. She could not have been nicer.
Evan Rachel Wood?
Could not have been cooler.
Good.
One of the coolest folks I've gotten to interview. Yeah.
Good, because I have a question for you a little later in this podcast.
Uh-oh.
That will be the antithesis.
Don't make me say her name in the correct order. I can't do it.
No, but did you have... Okay, so final recap on Comic-Con. It was my first time. I will say I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10, just because I didn't go into the convention center, which was my fault, because I see lines and I go... I'd rather walk through fire.
Well, if you had the correct number to text me at, which
okay,
you now
next
do.
Year. Next year we'll do.
No, I'm changing my number. It's going to be
God
fun.
God damn it, not again.
We see each other in the boat last night.
DM you on Twitter this time. I think that's what I did.
You did.
Gross.
For
who DMs
newbie,
on Twitter?
Apparently you.
Ugh.
With pictures.
Will
post.
Creep.
You did it right for your first time because you didn't bite off more than you could chew.
Mm-hmm.
You did, because the convention is very overwhelming to be into
it's
on the floor.
It's a lot.
That's like what you do. And so you had other responsibilities there, and you managed to do what half a Comic-Con really is, which is the nightlife, which is going out
yes.
to fun dinners
yes.
and having drinks at hotel bars. I mean, that's the good stuff.
And San Diego is a cool city. Like, it's
great.
Got way cool.
The
like,
gas lamp.
Like the architecture, like the buildings, like they're really doing it right. They were all in. Every restaurant was like superheroes and Marvel, like cocktails and menus. Everyone was in on it. They knew what they were trying to do.
Yep.
They were bringing in revenue after not having this event for 2 years because of COVID. And yeah, we got John Wick 4. The trailer came out for that,
cool,
which I'm
trailer.
Really excited. I haven't seen it yet, but I love the John Wick movies, which I didn't know. That was a quarantine surprise for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this is a really fun trilogy. And then now we got 4. Berserker's coming out. That's his animated feature.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Marvel Zombies, which is coming out. These are now my brain's working. So I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. I forgot.
Starting
about
to bubble
these.
Up.
So I'm all here for
learning.
It.
The creatures learning.
I loved it. It's like Halloween monsters and vampires and all that stuff is my jam. And then like I think it's escapism. The world's on fire. Go nerd out for a second.
That's exactly what the goal is. And so my Comic-Con started with the Darth Vader burger at Sally's Fish House, really that overlooks the IMDb boat on
uh-huh.
Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And it was a $26 burger. It was delicious. It looked like Darth Vader. It's cute. They dyed the bun.
They dyed the bun black.
They dyed the bun with some food coloring.
Did they call your order like this? They're like, Mark, I am your burger.
Ordered it like that.
You did.
And they didn't.
Oh,
they're too busy. And then it ended on early Sunday morning when I woke up to drive back after not 4 hours prior seeing and hugging one of my dear friends, Justin Martindale.
Ah, that was fun. And yeah, I had some fans out there as well, like amongst, you know, my mm-hmm. boyfriend's work friends. They were like, hi, can we get a picture? And people were like, oh my God.
That's
like,
so funny.
So that was kind of fun. I actually met one at the bar, like right before I walked in.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And like my friend was like, do you want to get a picture? And she was like, no, I don't. I just want to get a drink with them. That's it. No picture. I don't want to remember this moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ended my Comic-Con trip with a trip to... the IV clinic
okay.
to pump my body full of all of the vitamins and nutrients that had left my body due to exhaustion, heat, alcohol, really good, rich food. I sent 2 steaks back. I was that kind of a bitch this weekend.
No. Two cooked or 2 undercooked?
Both. One was undercooked, one was overcooked.
What's your temp?
Medium.
Okay.
Not hard.
All right.
And then
no, medium seems like a standard.
This one came out rare and one came out like really well done. And this is in front of like the COO of fucking IMDb. And she was like, I love that he can send his steaks back, but his IMDb page looks like this. And I was like, oh no. So yeah, I had to go get that fixed immediately. But overall, it was really, really fun. Now, we're going to get into some stories of the week
okay.
because I had to have you on because like, my God, that was everything I wanted and then some. So hopefully people get inspired to look at all the trailers we've talked about. Get those cues ready.
And then this is all the stuff that we missed because we
were
down
at
Comic-Con.
And this is all the stuff that we missed. And this is the top story of the week. No. Martha Stewart. She revealed that her pet peacocks had passed away.
Oh, no.
I know. Because we can escape for a while and then we get back to all the normal BS of the week. I didn't even know that Martha Stewart had pet peacocks.
No, I got to look up. I'm looking up right now. Excuse me to the audience. I'm looking up how long peacocks live.
Oh, let's guess. I'm going to say...
I'm going to go with...
I think they're weird, like, ancient birds. I'll say 60 years.
60?
Is that too...
They're birds. They ain't
you
making
never
it
know.
That far. I'm giving them 20 tops.
Okay.
How long do peacocks live? All right. Peacocks live 10 to 25 years.
So I was off.
Yeah, and I was... And I was correct.
But also, how old is Martha Stewart? Yeah. I'm like, 60 years.
You thought she was bequeathed these eggs when she was born?
Yeah. Mother of peacocks. She's just naked, on fire.
Holding eggs.
Just holding a peacock egg. God.
The rest of your days. Those will be the only eggs that you do not cook on TV.
Jesus Christ. Just someone just please do a face swap app as Martha Stewart on Daenerys Targaryen's body holding a peacock egg. That's all I want. That's all I want. Yes. Martha Knows Best star addressed the misplaced tune. Okay, she gave him a tribute. Mm-hmm. I left that out. She gave him a tribute on her Instagram. So Martha Stewart is mourning the death of her pet peacocks after a deadly coyote attack.
Coyote got them.
It's the worst. Coyotes, man.
Yep.
They're everywhere here in LA. If you have a dog, if you live in the desert or in the mountain area, bring your dogs and pets inside.
Don't leave them outside unattended.
God, because I had that happened to a friend of mine. He was like washing his dishes and his dog was outside. Almost a coyote jumped over the fence, grabbed it and jumped right back over. It's like, bye.
So according to this, Martha Stewart wrote, RIP beautiful blue boy. Mm-hmm. The coyotes came in broad daylight and devoured him and five others, mm-hmm. including the magnificent white boy. Her naming practices are odd.
Yeah, I don't know. There's blue boy and white boy.
I'm not going to ask the other colors that she named it, but this is getting stranger.
Yeah. So she did a little tribute to Blue Boy and White Boy and the other four members of Peacock Boys for Life. Yeah. So she gave
Cox to peas.
So when you think, don't look, I don't know if you've already seen it, but what song would you give? What's a good song to give to a peacock after it's been mauled by a coyote?
I'm going classic Animal Rescue, Sarah McLachlan.
For sure.
Arms of the Angel.
Yeah. No. I see, if I didn't know, I'd be like, same artist. I will remember.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I found this out today on KCRW. This month marks the 25th anniversary of Lilith Fair.
Oh, we're all going to die soon.
Remember Lilith Fair?
Yeah, it was huge.
Just unshaven armpit lesbians just jamming out to What If God Was One of Us by Joan Osborne. And it was just gays and lesbians. And we all identified with them. It was like Tori Amos, Sarah McLachlan, Tracy Chapman.
Indigo Girls,
Melissa Etheridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fiona Apple might have done a little bit of a tour with them. What's her name?
Sing a song. Lisa Loeb?
I don't know if Lisa Loeb
she
did
wasn't
it.
A lesbian. No, she isn't. I should maybe she. She might be bi.
PJ Harvey, maybe? Something
sure.
like that. But yeah, that's 25 years old. No, she picked the song.
I'm actually going to go Freebird.
That's a long TikTok.
It's a long
Instagram reel.
It's for Blue Boy.
I know. Yeah, Blue
but
Boy.
But I love that she's like RIP Blue Boy. Oh, and the coyote's got five other ones.
Yeah, including White Boy.
Yeah, but Blue Boy's the one I want. Like she's blaming White Boy for this.
And why do you have six fucking peacocks, Martha Stewart?
Only mourning one of them.
I mean, I bet she just wakes up, has her coffee, opens her French Parisian doors, and says, "Good morning, everyone," and they all plume. And she just stands there.
They help get her dressed in the morning. Like, she wakes up in a Disney cartoon.
They all just plume, and then they all like bow to her like the circle of life zebras. Just there she is. Mother has arrived.
The queen has returned.
She gave them Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
Huh.
Yeah. So now I'm like, what was she doing with them peacocks?
Now we understand why she was so upset.
Yeah. Let's get it on. We're no longer allowing the peafowl out of their yard. Peafowl, I mean, who knew? That's going to be on my Wordle tomorrow. We are enclosing the top of their large yard with wire fencing. So large yards and wire fencing, they're a good thing.
Yeah.
She goes, I visit these beautiful birds every day. I love calling out to them and waiting for their energetic responses. My peacocks are doing exceptionally well and remain active, curious, and very, very vocal. Okay, so all the others are alive. The deaths of Stuart's peacocks come just months after her cat Princess Peony was fatally attacked by her four dogs.
What?
She
Martha's got some.
She's got a fucking arc. And I feel like if Martha Stewart has an arc, she's got everything. She's got peacocks. She's got cats. She's probably owned some llamas.
You imagine what
Noah definitely has a Snoop Dogg.
Noah's Twitter was like, Noah was just like every day. Noah was like, it brings me great sadness to announce that the snakes have been eaten by the pandas.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try to separate them. And,
I know.
And also the badgers ate the squirrel. So we're going to have to circle around back and go pick up some more squirrels.
Yeah, how are there no like animal killings on the ark? They're all just like, well, we're all supposed to be here.
They all look so peaceful walking up two by two.
Oh, I know.
But then you get them in the wild. What do we learn from this story? Coyotes, not afraid of feathers.
Coyotes shouldn't have been allowed on the ark. Coyotes are terrifying. I mean, they're everywhere because they don't have any water and they're all hungry. I mean, they're like, they're mountain dogs with like rabies and stuff.
Well, you see one because you'll see them in LA driving, and like because I've seen like dogs get loose, and I immediately stop my car and I'm like doing everything, I'm risking life and limb to rescue them. So you see a coyote running around, I was like, oh, you poor puppy. Oh, wait, that's not a puppy at all.
Yeah.
That would eat my puppy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. I saw a rattlesnake on my hike today, a big, fat,
did you take
juicy
a picture?
One. I did. Well, my friend Denise did because she went on the hike with me. She took a video, tagged me in it. So it's now on my Instagram. It says giant, thick, juicy rattlesnake.
Really?
It looked wet. Like it looked like it was, it looked glistening.
That's
like it
venom.
Wasn't like,
that's all the venom.
It was, it, I mean, it, and it was so cool. It was just sitting there, and, you know, Denise and I see it, and we're like, oh, look, there's a rattlesnake. And there's this dumb family behind us, and the mom's like, is that a snake? And I'm like, shut up. Shut up, Brenda. Just be cool. Oh, my babies. And it's like just sitting there. The rattle's not even going.
Rattle's not going.
We see it, and it was huge. And so this guy comes down on a bike, and he's just like, phew. And the snake sees that we're watching it, and it just goes, you know what? And just turned around and slithered away. And then Brenda and her dumb clan of people come over, and they're just like, like filming it. And I'm just like, God, bite them, bite them.
Yeah. Really.
Nature's metal. It's my favorite thing. So RIP to White Boy and Blue Boy and all the other boys that have died in Martha's care.
Yeah, and Princess Peony.
You know what, though? Fuck Princess Peony.
Attacked by her four dogs.
She did something.
She's still feeding the dogs.
Yeah.
I bet the dogs are still eating.
Oh, they're eating good.
Yeah.
But Princess Peony, I'm sorry. I don't think four dogs just go after a cat. Unbeknownst.
Like there was,
that cat pissed off those four dogs. They all got together. They say, today we get rid of the princess. Today, hey, look at me. Tony, we're gonna dethrone the princess.
You, she said about you. It's like one of them goading Tony on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Tony, Peony, not happy with you.
Yeah, I know. And now, you know, because I think maybe Martha Stewart cursed her dogs, because her Italian dog mobs, because we've lost Ray Liotta, we lost Sorvino, Paul Sorvino, all of the best good fellas, all the Italian mobsters are just dropping like flies now.
You know what we do? We get Major Biden in there and just let Joe Biden's dog just regulate Martha's flock.
Does Joe Biden's dog do anything?
It bites everybody.
Oh, that's right. It does do that. Yeah.
Bites everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a typical White House pet. You'd have, like, Sox the cat. That the Clintons had the cat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, look at him over there.
Yeah, but Trump had his kids.
Trump had his kids.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. God. Jeez. All right. Well, RIP.
It is with great sadness to announce that a coyote's eaten my son, Eric.
Yeah, he was a nasty coyote.
He was the beautiful, he was the best coyote, biggest coyote. Others, not me, others have said, biggest coyote they ever saw.
Coyote was Antifa. It was a protester, real nasty. It was a woman.
It was from Los Angeles.
It was a lady coyote. Let's take away her rights.
We didn't practice our Trump impressions.
Mm-mm, no, I quit.
We're sorry.
But here we go. So we're going to go from nasty coyotes to two other nasty coyotes. JoJo Siwa. She's back. She is back, or as I call her, JoJo Shitstarter. JoJo Siwa reveals that her and Candace Cameron Bure, Candace Cameron Bure is the rudest celebrity she's ever met in a new TikTok video.
Ooh.
Now, JoJo Siwa. She, I think I can say she. I think she identified, or we'll just say they and be
okay.
safe.
Yeah, JoJo.
Recently came out as a lesbian. She was the Grand Marshal at LA Pride. I talked about her on this podcast where she was just like she was the guy at CVS that I was talking about earlier. Just tweaked out on life and pixie sticks, just like going to town. She has done some things on TikTok and using the platform to kind of, I don't know if it's necessarily get clout or just be like, hey, P.S., I'm just going to stir the pot.
Just taking shots up.
Exactly. She wasn't invited to the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards was like, oh, it's because I'm gay. And I'm like, no, because you're like 19. You're not a kid anymore. Like, it's just kind of starting these little feuds and just putting, like, just poking fires, mm-hmm. right? Now, Candace Cameron Bure, obviously, you know, big religious freak.
Yeah.
I had Jody Sweetin on the other week, and I didn't want to get into it, but I was kind of like, what is it like?
Yeah, you know? Right.
But I just think, like, first of all, I'm like, rudest celebrity? That's the rudest celebrity?
That's the rudest one.
So JoJo Siwa revealed that Candace Cameron Bure is the rudest celebrity she's ever met in a recent TikTok video. Siwa didn't say Bure's name, but she flashed a picture of the Full House star across the screen when picking the rudest celebrity she's met during a game that's currently a trend on the platform. It's a blink and you'll miss it moment, and Siwa didn't provide details of their meeting in the video. Instead, she went on to choose Zendaya as her celebrity crush.
Okay.
That's very basic. But get away from my Zendaya. She's my celebrity crush. Elton John is the coolest celebrity she's met, and Miley Cyrus is the nicest. Representatives for Bure did not immediately respond, but then they did. Because I woke up this morning and Candace Cameron wrote back and posted a photo featuring the phrase "Trust the Lord always" and Isaiah 26:4 to her Instagram story on July 25th. Ooh. The Bible verse the post is referencing reads, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." And per BibleGateway.com.
Oh,
thanks.
Yeah.
So that's what she responded with, this weird, like, cryptic Bible message. But you know what? Yes, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
JoJo Siwa.
Right.
You know what I would have preferred? Fuck off, Siwa. That would have
woken up some Christians.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, get out of here. So I'm going to ask you, since this is a trend and we have to stay relevant with the kids.
Can I also answer with Bible verses?
Yes. Yes, thine can.
Oh, that's a Philistine.
Yeah. Who is the nicest celebrity you've ever met?
Nicest celebrity I've ever met, present company excluded.
Mm-hmm.
The nicest celebrity that I have ever met in my days, probably here at the Comedy Store, to be honest with you.
Sure, that makes sense.
I'd probably say Robin Williams.
Yeah,
was just such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I told him I worked there, and he was just like so, he like wanted to hear stories, and it's like you get to spend time with him. So Robin Williams, way up there for me.
I think mine's Joan Rivers for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, she was.
I've heard that.
Such an awesome lady. Okay.
Meanest celebrity?
Meanest or rudest celebrity you've ever met?
I
just rude.
I don't know, because I can be very petty,
mm-hmm.
and I hold grudges, mm-hmm. and I forgive everybody, but I don't forget anything, Justin.
Right.
So I'm trying to think of like a celebrity that's like wronged me somehow. I do have a great story from a comic who I believe is now in Vegas, Rusty Dooley.
Oh, I love Rusty Dooley.
He used to do a bit about seeing, he saw Kevin Spacey he was, and plus I have no problem trouncing Kevin Spacey. So he saw Kevin Spacey like at a traffic light or something,
mm-hmm.
and he looked over and it's like, it's Kevin Spacey. And so Rusty's like, and so I like all, and Rusty does this in his act. So this is Rusty's act. So so I just went like this to him and just held his thumbs up. And then Kevin Spacey looks at him, holds out a fist with a thumb halfway. Like he's a Roman emperor, and then it goes down.
Ew, God.
And then the light changed and he sped off. That was his interaction.
But kind of amazing.
I mean,
but still kind of rude.
That was like probably Spacey hot off of American Beauty.
Or hot off of some dude's ass.
Both can be true.
Yeah, American Booty.
Yeah.
That's the spinoff. So nicest celebrity. Wait, what was the... Yeah, that was it, right?
That was the meanest celebrity.
So that was meanest celebrity. Yeah. My meanest celebrity is probably... I mean, I don't want to name names. Chelsea Handler.
Oh, God!
Boy! I tried everything. I tried everything. And then just threw me into the mud.
Don't you sometimes want to be backstage like these things where it looks like JoJo and Candace had their beef,
mm-hmm.
which was during the taping of, what was it, The View or Today or whatever the hell it was. And I just want to be backstage. Like, I want to be backstage at all those things.
Yeah.
That's the show that's never going to happen because all reality is, like, scripted.
Yeah, but to be a fly on the wall, like the one that's swarming this room now.
Fly later on tonight is going to turn into a moth on the stage of the OR.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it works here at the Comedy Store.
There's so many moths here. Yeah. The coolest celebrity you've ever met.
The coolest mm-hmm. celebrity I've ever met. I don't know if you got to interact with Chris Pine. I heard he's awesome.
No.
Just like chill.
They didn't allow me on the third day.
They didn't. Justin, you're tackling people.
But I host an amazing podcast called Just Saying. It charts in the news.
The coolest celebrity. I'm going to go with someone near and dear to my heart, which would be Mark Hamill.
Oh, that's cool.
Luke Skywalker. He's awesome.
Yeah, you've met Luke Skywalker and had a Darth Vader burger. A
couple times. And Luke Skywalker, I came up to him at the premiere for Force Awakens, and we just were walking towards each other, red carpet. I'm like, all right, just shoot your shot. I get up to him. Before I can say I'm Mark, he says, you're Mark from Schmoes No.
Whoa!
And I was like,
the force has awakened in my pants.
I had to go to the bathroom, clean myself off, and see a movie.
You have that cantina blue milk all in your pants. whatever that shit is. I'm going to say the coolest celebrity that I have met would probably have been...
So many to choose from. Which one of Martha's peacocks was the nicest?
White boy. It was just something about him. Something about him. I don't really know. I mean, the coolest. I mean, that Mark Hamill's cool, but.
The reason why you're having trouble, though, is because you seem like you've met a lot of people that are famous that have been nice to you.
Yeah, I don't need to necessarily.
Been cool.
Like, Mark Hamill, like, that's legendary. Joan Rivers is legendary as well, but I'm trying to think if I've met, like, any, like. Because I feel like the more legendary, the more, like if I met Carrie Fisher,
that
would have been rad. I mean,
I met Dick Van Dyke here one time.
Oh, yeah. I've met Dick Van Dyke.
Goldie Hawn I met, and she was awesome, too.
Oh, see, that would have been everything. Yeah, I need something like that.
I was on stage in the main room performing, and I knew Goldie Hawn was in the crowd, and the whole time I was thinking, because, like, I love Goldie Hawn. The whole time I was thinking, like, I hope Kurt Russell's with her.
God, I know. Yeah, like, even that, just old school hot. Like, I don't think any celebrity right now is being like, you know the coolest celebrity I've met is? JoJo Siwa! So, like, kind of know your place, kid.
Yeah.
You're among legends, you know? And Candace Cameron Bure, maybe she's not for you. Yes, she has her own opinions, and she can be a shithead, but so can celebrities. But she's DJ Tanner from Full House.
Damn it.
First and foremost.
It's like Kirk Cameron. I know he thinks he saved Christmas.
God.
He's Mike Seaver, and he's a troublemaker in a fun way.
Yeah. Now, you know, now we don't think of them as that.
No.
Like when you attack Candace Cameron Bure, you're attacking DJ Tanner. And you know who's against that? Bob Saget, RIP.
Who, by the way, up there for nicest and coolest.
Yeah, he's definitely up there for coolest, for sure.
I want to say John Stamos is, too. I've never met him,
John
so I don't
Stamos,
know.
I'll say, yeah, John okay. Stamos was cool. I met him here when he was here. He's very, very, very cool. I mean, it's John Stamos, for God's sake.
Yeah. What's he going to do, not be
so,
cool?
So, get her out of here. Beat it. No, I'll be back. Now, here's this story intrigued me because this recently, this is a two-parter. This is the first part of this.
Oh, boy.
There's a campaign going around right now. Kylie Jenner started it, the patron saint of social media.
Yeah.
And who, you know, takes 7-minute jet flights because she just can't be bothered with traffic. And so she posted something I actually reposted on Twitter. It was just like, make Instagram Instagram again.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm tired of like Instagram. They've revamped their platform once again. It's slowly turning into TikTok. I had a conversation about this on my hike today, avoiding rattlesnakes. That's how I feel. Like, I don't feel like I have to constantly post. I actually posted something before you got here and I was like, hey, I'm recording my show. I didn't vanish. I just don't want to be on this right now.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just too much. I don't need like, I hate the Siri fucking voice, the... when my mom finds out that I'm a drug dealer. You know, like, I hate, like, the captions being read.
I'm going to have somebody do TikTok for me because I don't want to do it.
It's just exhausting. And I don't need, like, people get up there and they do, like, bad impressions. They're like, here's my impression of me, of an avocado in the fridge. Like, it's just like, get out of here. And it's just, it's consuming. And then I'm stuck in this rabbit hole and people are campaigning to make Instagram just pictures of their friends. That's what I want. I want to see what you're up to. I want to see a picture of your, like, what? Oh, okay, cool. I don't need to see you, like,
yeah,
like acting out a scene from fucking, you know, like, okay, cool.
Maybe that's the easy policy, is you just say, okay, Instagram has to stay on Instagram.
Instagram,
you
can't
post
Instagram.
Remember when people tried to post Instagram links on Twitter and everybody's like, no, that's not, you don't do that here.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Like, well, maybe the same thing.
You can't do TikTok on Instagram now. You have to do the reels. But it's also like, I don't have time to like make a goddamn 3-minute long video of me like dancing to some song and like stop, paste, cut it together. Like, I got my clips here. I got my stuff that I'm interested in outside, but I don't need to be like, here's my impression of whatever is happening that day. I don't need to see Lil Miss bullshit gifs like taking over my feed. I'm like, I get it, but it's like, it's the Gen Z generation being like, oh look, we all get a trophy.
Yeah, right.
That's what
right.
it is. Like, show me your stuff and like, let's move on.
It's I don't a daily need to Hunger Games to yeah. be famous.
Lil Miss adjusts her microphone. Lil Miss leaves her phone on ring. Little Miss, are these poppers? I don't need all that. So, and I'm going into this story because of this, because there's these trends where it's like people are taking weird foods and putting them together and being like, actually, these are really good.
Oh,
there's a thing
on.
Where it's like, hey guys, today we're going to try mustard on watermelon. Lay down in traffic.
Yeah, really.
I don't need like TikTok trends and to change. Like some girl is trying to sell pink sauce. It's $20 a bottle. It's not FDA regulated. She's making like money off of this. Like some people are getting it packaged and it's exploding in the thing. But like in all her videos, she's like putting it on like a taco, putting it on chicken. And she's like, doesn't explain what it tastes like.
Mm.
Some people have said it sounds like ranch. But again, there's going to be a lawsuit happening
yes, there
with
is.
This. So Dove Cameron, you know her from such films as...
Fuller House?
I'm quizzing you.
I have no idea.
Okay. She was...
not a clue.
She was in The Descendants on Disney, which was like...
Not the George Clooney movie?
No, totally different movie. Okay. This was the one where it's like all the kids of the villains have to like go to school with all the kids from the heroes of Disney films.
I like the idea.
The actual show is complete trash.
Winning concept.
It's good. It's fun. So she said in 2018... that when she was little, she discovered this life hack and nobody's going to believe her until they try it. She takes a deep breath, bracing herself for whatever reaction may come. You know how many people make cake pops? You take a cake and mash it up. She pauses. She would take brownies and make them into little balls and dip them into ranch dressing. She goes, don't judge me. That sounds like the worst, most disgusting thing in the world, but it's unbelievable. It's unmatched. My stunned expression must be a little too slack-jawed because she quickly follows it up with, I don't know how to make you trust me until you try it. Now, this was 2018. A couple days ago, she gets on TikTok and they ask her about it. And she's like, yeah, when I was a little kid, I had my brownies and then I had my Caesar salad with ranch dressing. And first of all, I don't know what I was more offended with, Caesar salad and ranch dressing is just a salad.
That's just a salad, yeah.
So not educate yourself on salad, yeah. Dove Cameron.
Call me when you dip a brownie in Caesar dressing.
Yeah, as a professional salad eater over here.
Over there. I'm a professional brownie eater over here.
I know my salads. Damn it.
When Justin and I sit down for a meal, I say, he'll have the salad, I'll have a dessert menu.
And that's it. Water, please. Two of them. No ice. We're going big here. I got to get back onto my shift. I got to pass out drinks on my IMDb boat. And so she's like, when I was little, I had my Caesar salad with ranch dressing, which your mom is terrible.
Yeah.
And brownies. And so she dipped her brownie and put it in the ranch dressing and then ate it. And she's like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. It's not. So then they quiz her on it. She gets the ranch dressing, puts it on her brownies. And she's like, you guys, you have no idea what you're missing out on. I was going to bring brownies for us to dip in ranch dressing, and I'm not going to do that because we're friends. But this is the shit that I'm saying needs to stop.
Yeah, it's pretty rough out there.
Because what happens when, you know, Dove Cameron is linked to 25,000 cases of tapeworm in the United States because all these young girls are like,
if Dove Cameron eats brownies with ranch, then I'm going to eat brownies with ranch.
No.
You're essentially taking two cheat foods and marrying them together.
Exactly. And also, you're not Regina George. When Regina George did something, we did it. I don't give a shit if Dove Cameron's like, guys, are really missing out. You got to dip your brownies in ranch.
You can do whatever you want with food, but just let's maybe agree that that doesn't make it a defining, cool part of your personality.
Yeah, and I'm adventurous.
It's something that you do that doesn't need to be reported.
Right, exactly.
I blame the media.
I blame Dove Cameron. Cancel Dove Cameron!
I blame Big Brownie and Big Ranch for this story.
No. I don't need a Hershey's Hidden Valley. I don't need... that is not something not on my agenda. But also, like, if there are adventurous people out there, I like to try things. I'm a big spice person. I'm a big... like, I love ranch. I love jalapeno ranch.
Yeah.
I love spicy ketchup from Whataburger.
I like tricking my ranches out with different things.
Exactly. But don't... I don't need mustard... flavored watermelon.
No, I don't need
any of that. And I think we're just trying to push. Like I go into Trader Joe's every now and then. Actually, I have to go today. But like they had what it was like. It was like habanero pineapple popcorn. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
I bought dill pickle seasoning. I haven't used it once.
I've had dill pickle chips, and they're pretty good. And then I got greedy. I was at Whole Foods, and I got dill pickle seasoned almonds. I had a bite. I was like, oh, well, this is okay. And then I had another handful. I was like, this, nope.
It's like... it's
they've
like,
been sitting in the pantry ever since.
It's like truffle.
Away from the other foods.
Truffle... truffle-flavored this, truffle-flavored mm-hmm. that. Well, it's like drinks. I feel like we go into trends with, like, alcohol.
Yeah.
Like for instance, when I moved here, apple martinis and Cosmos were a thing.
Huge.
Apple martinis. Like, if someone ordered an apple martini right now, I'd be like, get the fuck away from me. Apple martinis and that. And then we went into... the flavored vodkas had a moment. Like Grey Goose blueberry, Grey Goose pear.
And now we're in the, as a beer drinker, the beers went through the same thing. You had Bud Light Lime, stuff like that. Now we're, it's sort of, I think, at the tail end of the white trash seltzer revolution.
Yes, because IPAs were before that.
IPAs were big.
And then we went into like the seltzers, all that shit is happening.
Food, and food, the same thing happens with food.
Same thing happens with
food.
You get
sliders. Remember, everybody's freaking out because, the hamburgers are tiny
Wagyu.
Now. Yeah.
Angus. Yeah,
and was, sriracha.
Yeah.
Everybody lost their minds for sriracha.
Everyone
for
lost
a couple
their minds. Yeah. And then now it's beery beef, or it's like beery beef.
Oh, boy.
It's like Mexican tacos, something like that. It's like B-I-R-R-I-R-I,
what
something like
ours?
That.
Yeah.
But then, and then going into drinks after that, you had your Aperol spritzes, which were a thing.
Mm.
And then after that, everyone went to... espresso martinis, which are huge.
They're doing the same damn thing with beer now.
Yeah.
Get like IPAs that are coffee.
Yes, coffee liquor. I don't need it. And then now, this is the new trend. The French 75s. Those are coming back. That's a classic cocktail with gin. It's like a gin cocktail with like elderflower. Some. It's nice.
Every once in a while,
champagne. It's a French 75.
Yeah, the kids they read, or these days they see The Great Gatsby. They're like, oh, let's do that.
Yeah,
for a week.
Yeah, it's a whole. And then cut to me drinking like charcoal infused like toilet water, and I'm like, this is delicious. What is this? A mezcal? Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Mezcal's having a moment too.
Uh-huh.
I love how you know like beers, and I'm like,
I
got cocktails and liquors. But
that's
Duff
why we're
Cameron,
friends. We're like mustard and watermelon.
Mustard and watermelon, just two ingredients that you didn't know you needed, but
together they're better.
But we're gonna close this off because I had to go in from, you know, Dove Cameron's ranch mm-hmm. brownies to another woman who really loves her seasonings and
uh-oh.
Taking them over the top. I have to end it with a crazy story that I find. A woman claims she laced her partner's condom with chili oil, then married his father.
Ah, what a tag.
You thought you were having a bad
week.
You're
talking about two things that don't go together.
I mean, but do they? So, this article, this woman who found out her boyfriend was cheating on her decided to get her own revenge on him by injecting habanero chili oil in his condoms and later ended up marrying his father. Now, there's so many things that I want to take away from this. Injecting a condom mm-hmm. is not safe because condoms are not supposed to be penetrable. Penetrable? Got it.
There
penetrable.
It is.
This woman shared her story in a video, because we're just recording everything now, as the 29-year-old explained exactly what went down. The on-screen text read, that time I caught him cheating with my friend, so I injected habanero oil in his condoms. Gotta have that. He came home like the dog he was with his tail between his legs, she added, which is when she continued her payback. I offered to put ice on his dick and used frozen habanero ice cubes that I had made.
She put some planning into this. And I got to say, you find a guy cheating on you, I don't really have a big issue with the habanero oil. But here's the thing.
Right.
How dumb is the guy? That's a sign that you're having way too much sex. Is that if you don't stop to notice that the condoms smell a little funny?
Smells a little funny, but I mean, how much habanero oil? We'll get into this because a shot of habanero pepper is rated 100 to 350,000 units on a Scoville heat scale. The oil she added would have given her cheating ex a world of pain, especially if that gets in your pee hole.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Oh, God. So I'm sure she only used like a couple drops.
Are you sure?
I mean, yeah, if it's concentrated habanero oil, if it's like the hot ones, if he's putting the bomb sauce in there, you're going to smell it.
It
immediately
turns into his entire dick just turns into smoke. Just
yeah, which I've had that sauce. I have it in my pantry right now. That is, no one puts that on anything.
Yeah,
it's just
no,
there.
Yeah. I had to go to the ER one time. It was a long story.
It's
yeah.
awful.
For my throat, not with the member.
Oh, it's, I just couldn't even imagine. So then it goes on, the story goes on, as afterwards, the TikToker caught her boyfriend cheating once again.
Why are you still dating him?
And eventually went on to marry his father. Caught him cheating again, said, fuck it, married his dad. Which, does the dad have a say in this? She goes, we're celebrating our fifth wedding anniversary in May. After she explained the outcome, she also included videos of herself and her husband, who appear to be very much in love. Since posting about this wild turn of events, her video has received 65,000 views, thousands of likes, as well as hundreds of comments from people praising her act of revenge. Mommy and daddy will be home soon, one person wrote. You go, girl, said Ricky Lake.
I love this person. Someone else added, don't hate the player, hate the game. You're just leaving a comment that means nothing.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
It's called boredom. That's why I need TikTok. I need Instagram to stop being TikTok, because people are just posting videos of them just stumbling around and just spinning around like Britney Spears, and people are like, yes, queen.
This is just another story that you read, and you're like, this is why abortion should be legal.
Oh, my God. Yes.
for so many reasons. To take care of all the kids that the boyfriend, the cheating boyfriend, could have made, to take care of everybody in this story, going all the way back to the dad, who, what kind of a dad? Like, I get it, but you still want to support your son.
This is, yes, that's what I was,
where's
exactly.
Where's the, hey, dad, want to have a catch moment in this story?
Yeah, and where's the father-son moment at, like, Olive Garden being like, dad, please don't marry my ex-girlfriend who put habanero oil in my pee hole. Well, she loves me. Sorry, son.
Ugh.
Like, what?
Pass the ranch. Caesar.
Yeah, and can I get this on a brownie upside down cake? Do you have the lava cakes? Perfect. Just box those up. We'll take six peacocks home, too. I mean, it's just so much. And I think that's why we need abortion to stay legal, because we have just these TikTokers running amok, making trends, ruining families. You know what goes really good with kids? Coyotes.
I don't hate this pairing.
I say we save the dogs, get rid of the shitty kids.
From the makers of watermelon mustard comes
coyotes and
baby.
Kids. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Coyotes.
That's how you do this. Stop letting a stork deliver the babies for a minute.
Yes.
Hand the rugrats over to a pack of wild coyotes.
And they'll decide
see
if
how many
this
deliveries
is
going
to grow up to be a good person and have a bring a wellness into society.
You're driving up Oral Canyon, you see a coyote with a baby dangling from its mouth.
But in the diaper.
Yeah.
And then you look because you're concerned and you're like, And then the coyote looks at you, gives you the thumbs up, and then you can look back down and
you
give
can
it the
Kevin
thumbs
Spacey
down.
Him.
Kevin Spacey it if you want this baby at your doorstep or not. See? Problem solved. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being here. Everybody, make sure to check Mark Ellis out at, you got anything?
At Mark Ellis Live.
Yes.
Technically, I think maybe TikTok, but you could just do the Instagram. And
we
the
can
Twitter.
Just IMDb you, or yeah. Can we?
I don't know. I'll take it up with Justin on the boat next year. With first mate Justin Martindale.
Skipper Martindale here. Do you have any dates or anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas at the MGM Grand at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, September 5th through the 11th.
Good. Go check Mark Ellis out. He's very funny. And as always, thank you, Just Sayers, for tuning in, liking, and subscribing. Make sure you guys get that Cozy Earth discount. Yes, get that Cozy Earth discount with the promo code 40JUST, that's 40JUST, to get 40% off your final Cozy Earth purchases. I love my bath sheets. You're welcome. Get yours today. And as always, thanks again. We'll see you next time here on Just Saying. Bye.